that you would think that she would ask. In verse 34, how can this be possible? I've never known a man. And the angel answers Mary in Luke 1:35. Angel says, a Holy Spirit shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Galatians 4, you know the verse. In Galatians 4:4, it simply says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. That's what Christmas is about. That's what we celebrate. We don't celebrate Christmas trees, even though there's nothing wrong with them. We don't celebrate the things that we do, even though there's nothing wrong with those traditions and the cultures that we have. We celebrate Christmas because a C stands for Christ Child, and it was born of the Holy Spirit, and that baby that was born had an earthly mother called Mary and had a heavenly father, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we don't understand it, but in a miraculous, mysterious way, Holy Spirit escorts the second person of the Trinity from heaven to earth to a virgin by the name of Mary. And in a miraculous way, Jesus, don't miss it, dematerializes, and then Jesus rematerializes in the womb of a virgin that's listed here in Matthew 1:18, Virgin Mary. And the 700-year-old prophecy that we know so well in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So that box had been checked. That prophecy had been checked 700 years after it was prophesied. It was checked on that first Christmas morning. You see, C in Christmas stands for Christ Child. Luke 2:40, and the child grew, and the grace of God was upon him. Christmas, the day when a human body housed divinity. Our Creator became a child of His own conception through His own creation. C stands for child. Brother Ripley.
Thank you.
Blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The word hope appears 154 times in Scripture. Now, there's two types of hope. There's secular hope. That's the world's hope. It's an idea that there is no certainty. We just express a preference. We hope. We wish. And it's a secular definition of what many people put their trust in. It would be like, an example would be like, I hope Arkansas football team goes to a bowl next year. It's a hope. It's a wish. It's wishful thinking. There's no certainty. That's the world's hope. But when Scripture talks about hope, looking for that blessed hope, and the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that scriptural hope. As Christians, as believers, as followers, we have hope, but it's not like the world has. It's a scriptural hope based on the Word of God, the Bible. Scriptural hope is different than secular hope. Scriptural hope gives us a different meaning than the world's meaning. It's a confident anticipation. This thing will come to pass. It's an attitude of expectation. And that's what we're talking about. Hope. H stands for hope. It's a hope that's going to happen. We just don't know when. It's a hope that we can expect. We just don't know when. It's a hope that comes with an anticipation. We just don't know when. We just know it's going to come. And that the H in Christmas stands for hope. God created man in his image back in Genesis chapter 2. Together, man, Adam and Eve, man and God himself enjoyed unbroken, unhindered fellowship with God in a place called the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was then heaven on earth. God's premier creation and God himself walking daily, fellowshipping daily, holding hands daily, communicating daily. It was heaven on earth. That was God's creation. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. Until everything changed and man became
sinners. Adam and Eve became lost. Adam and Eve and mankind from there forward became doomed. And God evicts man and his wife Eve, Adam and Eve, from utopia. What a horrible ending to a story that started with so much promise. Yet, in the middle of the worst day of early world population, hope, biblical hope, not secular hope, but scriptural hope, not what the world thinks hope is, but the worst day that took place when they got evicted from utopia, from heaven on earth, hope showed up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, known as the first gospel. Gospel means good news. Hope is good news. Bible hope is good news, good tidings. Hope showed up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's our Latin word. It's called proevangelium. And it means that it's the first gospel. It means there's a way to triumph over sin for mankind. In Genesis 3:15, God makes a promise. This will be possible through the seed of woman. Way back in Genesis, he begins to talk about how his plan's going to come together, and all this hope is going to come through the seed of a woman. Now that's interesting. Meaning there's no man going to be involved in this. No humans going to be involved in this. No earthly father is going to be involved in this seed that's going to come and simply be the first gospel, the first good news, the first good tidings of how man can go from sin and being lost and doomed to simply being reconciled through regeneration. What it's talking about there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, let me read that verse again that we started with in Titus 2:3. Looking for that blessed hope. That's Bible hope, scriptural hope. That's anticipation, expectation. Glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Genesis 3:15 to Matthew 1:18. Genesis 3:15, the first time we got hope, to the start of the Christmas story, which is found here in Matthew 1:18, 4,000 years. There was hope for 4,000 years. There was an expectation for 4,000 years. There was anticipation for 4,000 years. But not only was it 4,000 years from Genesis 3:15, the promise of hope, until Matthew 1:18, when we're promised the baby. And it was born in that wonderful book of Matthew and Luke. As a matter of fact, not only has it been 4,000 years since Genesis and the Christmas story, but it's been 400 years since Malachi, the Old Testament, and Matthew, the New Testament. There's been a 400-year silence period. 400 years, think about it, 400 years, 4 centuries, 4 centuries of hope. Folks had hope, there was silence, God wasn't speaking no more, he wasn't talking to prophets no more for 400 years. Hope, promises have been made, prophecies have been prophesied, prayers have been prayed. And one of them was Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's a promise, a prophecy, a prediction. Isaiah 9:6, you know the story. You know the birth. For unto us a child is born. A son is given. It's a prophecy. It's a promise. Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem, out of thee shall come forth to be the ruler of Israel. Verse after verse, prophecy after prophecy, prediction after prediction was simply made throughout Scripture, and now it's been 4,000 years, 400 years since the Old Testament. Every Sabbath service between then and Matthew 1:18, every sacrifice offered between then and Matthew 1:18, every altar built between then and Matthew 1:18, was closed with "come soon" our promised Messiah. H stands for hope. Scriptural hope produces joy, confidence, and faith. It produces a confident anticipation that most certainly it will come to pass. The C stands for Christ child. H stands for hope, brother.
I've often wondered what Mary Magdalene felt, what Mary Magdalene thought. She was carrying the Son of God. Yeah. Then he's going to sing a song called "Breath of Heaven." Takes you to the thought of a little bit what Mary Magdalene thought.
Oh, Said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Spread an understanding when it talks about good tidings. It means good news. Good news, the wait's over. Good news,
The promise is fulfilled. Good news. The hope has arrived. What an announcement. It's an announcement from an angel from heaven to shepherds. Shepherds were the lowest of the low in society's thinking. They were just a dime a dozen. It was a dirty occupation. It was below blue-collar work. Being a shepherd. And when God wanted to make the announcement, when God wanted to say after 4,000 years, who am I going to tell first? He simply sent an angel from heaven to Bethlehem in the fields where shepherds were working, watching their flock by night. And he gave the announcement that would cause rejoicing. R stands for rejoice. Verse 13, it tells us what happened. Once they heard the news, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel is sent from heaven to a little town that was like Bethlehem, to shepherds in a field at night to make the announcement. And right then, right there, right off the bat, immediately they begin to praise God and honor God and sing to the Lord of the wonderful rejoicing, the wonderful joy, the wonderful news and good tidings they'd heard. Think about these angels just for a moment. Angels. They had witnessed the fall of man back in Genesis chapter 3. These angels, they knew and understood that what man did, he chose. They understood that man, being Adam and Eve, they understood, these angels understood, that man sinned willfully. God said, there's some trees here. You can eat from every tree except that one. Angels understood. They were there when it happened. They knew what was going on. These angels knew it. They knew the consequences of man's sin. They knew if you disobey, if you choose your own way, the angels knew the consequences of what would happen to man. They had heard God's redemption plan, first found in Genesis 3:15. We just talked about that. So angels knew it. They knew hope was on the way. They knew hope was coming. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ would be the answer. They knew it. And just like the world waited for 4,000 years, just like the world waited 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament, these angels had waited all this time. They waited. And on that first Christmas morning, on that first Christmas day, the high point of history, the grandest news to ever fall on human ears, brings universal rejoicing. The R in Christmas stands for rejoicing. In verse 13 and 14, they said that suddenly there was the angel, with the angel multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. He's praising God. In other words, all their rejoicing, the shepherds, and were there. And we'll see that in a couple of weeks. We'll see what the shepherds, how they were so afraid and scared and bewildered, so to speak, to see this great multitude of heavenly hosts and the light that shone around them, so to speak. And they were so afraid, but they saw these angels praising God for the news, the good tidings that came that morning. And all heaven breaks loose, unable to contain the excitement of the joy of the news in a form of rejoicing, in a form of praising God. Magnifying the name that's above every name. That name is Jesus. R stands for rejoicing. At the heart of the Christian faith, there's not a set of principles that we have to live by. At the heart of the Christian faith is not a list of commandments. At the heart of the Christian faith is not a file of rules, laws, and regulations. At the heart of Christian faith is not some kind of moral code. We're for moral code, we're for the commandments, we're for principles, we're for rules and regulations of the law according to Scripture. But what God did on that first Christmas, when heaven's darling left heaven, came to earth to become flesh, for the purpose, here it is, to become a substitute for sinners. Matthew 1:21. They shall bring forth a son. They will call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. The purpose of the rejoicing, the purpose of the good news, the purpose of the Christmas good tidings from these angels sent from heaven was that man could experience redemption through the new birth of regeneration. That's good news. That's news worth rejoicing over the room.
Born so he can say in Bethlehem a child to be how great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Praise me the Lord in heaven above. There shall the child lie in a stall, his loving shall redeem the soul, and great our joy, 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 joy. Praise me the Lord in heaven above. Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
C stands for Christ, A stands for hope, R in Christmas stands for rejoicing. I love Christmas. I've always loved Christmas. The world celebrates Christmas as a season. We as Christians, we celebrate Christmas because of the Savior. That's the difference. We want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. This is our Christmas program starting. We've got 2 more weeks, the same format. Looking forward to sharing Christmas acrostic with you as our church family. Let's all stand. Hands are bowed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. We thank you, Lord, for this message in song, in hymn, in rejoicing, Lord, as well as your wonderful word that's been spoken this morning. We pray, Father, that you'd fill our hearts. Fill our hearts with the greatest story about the greatest birth, about the greatest person that was ever born, when God became one of us. And Lord, we pray that you bless the next 2 weeks as we bring it all together. We get to share with our wonderful church family as we think about Christmas, scriptural Christmas. We love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While you're standing, Brother Ruben, you guys want to sing Invitation? Well, how'd that choir do today? Amen.